Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy, as always, to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Hey, He wants to be your Savior. He can be your Savior. In fact, Luke 19 and 10 tells us He came to be your Savior, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Well, I'm glad you tuned in today. Hope this finds you well, but I do know it finds you blessed in so many ways. My, what a privilege it is for Debbie and me to be joining with you this day, and we trust that our time together will be a blessing. All that is our prayer. Sir, ma'am, we want to bring glory to God, but we want to be a blessing to you. Look, we don't take it for granted. We know you make a choice to tune in, and well, we just want to do our best, be at our best. I've opened my Bible to the book of Proverbs, right after the book of Psalms, right before the book of Ecclesiastes, the book of the preacher. And I'm going to be reading in chapter 1, beginning probably about verse 20. I've got more scripture to read than I normally read for my message, but I believe this is the will of God. But before I do that, as always, Debbie's got a song she's going to sing. The title of it is, If It Were Not For His Grace. It's the title song of one of her projects, actually. Enjoy with me. I'll be back in a moment.
If it were not for His grace, oh, there go I. If it were not for His grace, I should have bled and died. If it were not for His grace, on the cross should have been me. And if it were not for His grace, I should have died on. Take a look around at this old sinful world. We are quickly to condemn those who cannot afford. But if you take a look at just what we see, if it were not for His grace, that could have been you and me.
Thank God for the grace of God. I'll say amen right there. Job well done, Debbie. And a message understood. If it were not for His grace, Man, I should have been crucified and I should have died. But God manifests His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Debbie, for that great song and the message that is in it. Look, I told you, open my Bible, the book of Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading in verse 20. And here's what I want to talk about. I'm going to talk about today the most awful subject I know anywhere in the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you the flat out truth. Now look, God won't change His Word for me or for you. And I'm not suggesting that I want Him to. But I'm saying if I could take anything out of the Word of God, I'd probably take the message of hell out of it. I tell you, it's an awful place. It upsets me. It troubles me when I think about it. In fact, it scared me to death. When I got saved, April 23rd, 1974, when I got saved, thank God. Listen, I was scared to death I'd die and go to hell, and I would have had I not been saved. So I want you to know, friend, I believe in it. I believe Jesus died to save us from that awful place. I believe God's made a way of escape for you, sir, and you, ma'am, and you don't have to go there if you don't choose to. In fact, let me tell you something I may say more than one time in this message. In light of what Jesus did at Calvary, in light of what the Son of God did and died for all mankind, in light of what Jesus did at a place called Calvary, there is no reason for any man, woman, boy, or girl to die lost and go to hell. And yet they're going there by the multitudes today. And I'll show you that in just a little bit. Listen to what the writer of Proverbs says. And all this is wisdom crying out. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the opening of gates in the city. She uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorner delight in the scorning, and fools hate knowledge. There are three different groups or different types of people that wisdom spoke to here. The simple ones, the scorners, and the fools. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my Spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. But he said, listen now, wisdom does, because I have called and ye have refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not. All my counsels and would none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own ways and be filled with their own deceits or devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Hey, I want you to know something. Wisdom is calling for you today to turn, for you to consider your ways, and for you to consider what your eternity is. So I want to talk to you today. I'm going to talk to you today just for a few moments of time. I'll not get this message preached out, but I'll preach at it nonetheless. I'm going to talk to you about roadblocks. Roadblocks on the way to hell. Roadblocks on the way to hell. I'm telling you, friend, the subject of hell bothers me. It troubles me. It moves me in the depths of my spirit. It stirs my heart in a way that I can't express in words. But I want you to know, friend, it's an awful place. Hell is a real place. Hell isn't just a figment of imagination of a few fundamental Bible believers. Bless God, hell is real because God said it's real. Hell is real because God created it. Hell is real, friend, because it is. Oh, what an awful subject. What an awful thought. What an awful eternity. What an awful reality it's going to be for people. Hell, hell, hell. People that could have been delivered. People that are there praying right now that you'll hear this preacher, that you'll heed the message, that you'll run to God. Hell is filled with people that are praying. Isn't that amazing? That their family members would not come there. Oh, sinner friend, hear the Word of God today. I want you to know that hell's an undeniable reality. According to the Word of God in the book of Luke chapter 16, the Word of God teaches us, and it was Jesus who brought this up. He said there was a certain a rich man. There was a beggar by the name of Lazarus. The rich man died. The beggar man died. The beggar, after he died, was carried to the angels in the bosom of Abraham. But the rich man died. Now look at this. And in hell, the Word of God says, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Oh, friend, listen. Listen, hell's reality. People joke about it. People tell people they get angry at that they want them to go to hell. But all friend only realize how gross it is, how real it is, how dark it is, how damning it is. Oh, we'd never wish that even upon our worst enemies. But look, friend, listen. You say, preacher, I don't believe in that place. I don't believe a God of love would send people to hell. Listen, He won't send them there. They make a choice of that. People decide here in this life their eternal destiny. But I want you to know something. You reject God in this world. You reject Christ as your Savior. You reject the advances of the Holy Spirit on your heart. You reject the gospel call that comes to you. And when you stand before God in judgment after rejecting His Son as your Savior, after rejecting His advances of conviction for conversion upon your poor lost soul, sir, ma'am, I'll tell you, He'll not bat an eye. As you stand before Him face to face, He'll call for an angel to bound you hand and foot and to cast you into outer darkness where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus, listen, believed in hell. In fact, He suffered our hell for us. In that 3 hours of darkness on Calvary, when at the end of it He cried, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? In that time, an infinite God died for a finite amount of time for sinners like me and you. He suffered our shame. He suffered our pain. He took that separation from God that would be ours for eternity, except we repent of our sins and all in light of the fact that Jesus paid for your sin and my sin. In light of the fact, as the song says, Jesus paid it all. Why would you want to die for your sins? The Bible said the wages of sin is death. And that death He's talking about is eternal separation from God for an eternity. Oh, sinner friend, listen, you may not believe in hell, but a man by the name of Jesus who walked among us sinless, died substitutionally for us, cried out on Calvary, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? He believes in a place called hell. Look, hell wasn't God's original purpose for mankind. The Bible tells us in Matthew 24 or 25 and 41 that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, and I want you to know that all that go there, every man, every woman that goes there, friend, will go as an intruder. In the book of Isaiah chapter 5 verse 14, the Word of God, and I'm not turning and read it, you just get it perfect if you will, but He said hell hath opened her mouth and enlarged her borders. Isn't that something? You say, why, preacher? Because people that reject Christ don't go to heaven. People that reject Christ as their Savior die lost and will find themselves in a place called hell forever and forever. Oh, sinner friend, don't go there. Don't end your existence there. And listen, you'll exist forever and not die. Do you hear me? It'll be in darkness. It'll be a place of darkness. No light there. No rest there. No comfort there. No peace there. It is a place, like Jesus said again in Luke 16, it's a place of torments. Can I tell you again? In light of what Jesus did at Calvary, in light of what Jesus did at Calvary, there's no reason for you, for anybody to die lost and go to that awful place called hell. Oh, look. Oh, look, you're bound for someplace. We sing at church every now and then, I'm bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. I want you to know, friend, that one day I was bound for a hell's darkness, for a hell's depth. Hell was my eternal destiny until I heard, glory to God, until I heard about a man by the name of Jesus. Until I repented of my sin. Until by faith I asked Christ to save me. Listen, friend, hope you take this saying like I mean it. Hey, April the 23rd, 1974, I got the hell scared out of me. Do you hear me? Thank God. Listen, I want to warn you. The Holy Spirit's wooing you. But oh, you've got to make your decision, your mind, your choice about where you'll spend eternity. Listen, wisdom is crying to the simple. Wisdom is crying to the scoffer. Wisdom is crying to the fool. And He said, listen, one of these days you'll cry for Him. You reject Him. You scoff at Him. You laugh at Him. And one day He'll laugh at you. That's what our text says. Well, you say, preacher, is it easy to go to hell? Well, on one hand it is. You don't have to do anything to get there. All you got to do is just simply really do nothing. Don't believe, don't accept, don't confess, don't repent. Just keep doing what you're doing and you'll finally arrive there. You say, but yet on the other hand, it's hard to get there. On the other hand, God has set up, I believe, some spiritual roadblocks, some obstacles on the way to hell. And friend, I think, bless God, if you go there, you got to go against good common sense. You got to go against a conscience that cries out continually. Listen, you got to go against lots of things that God has put in your way. And you say, what are those things, preacher? Well, first of all, let me tell you, it's the will of God. If you go to hell, you go over the roadblock of the will of God. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, I don't know, verse 9 or 10, he said, listen, he said, God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Do you know, sir, ma'am, if you die lost and go to hell, you go over the will of God. Well, you say, preacher, why doesn't God save me? God won't save you against your will. He has allowed us to choose whether we'll serve Him or not. God doesn't want robots. God doesn't want people just to serve Him because they have to. God wants men and women to serve Him because they get to and because they want to. But listen, sir, listen, ma'am. The Bible said that God would have all men to be saved. Chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. God wants you to be saved. And in fact, I want you to know you'll not only go over the will of God, but you'll go over the work of Christ. Oh, you'll go over that blood that He shed at Calvary. That book, bless God, that records the message of salvation and the work of God and the will of God. How about in Luke 19 and 10, which is the scriptural verse for this little radio ministry. Jesus, the Bible said, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. If you go to hell, you'll go over the blood of Christ. If you go to hell, you'll crawl over the cross of Calvary. If you go to hell, friend, listen, you'll walk over, you'll trample over the blood of Jesus. Do you hear? That's what the Word of God teaches. Oh, listen, friend, Jesus came not to minister to be ministered to, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. If you go to hell, you'll go over the roadblock of God's will and the work of Christ. Not only that, but the wooing of the Spirit. Chapter 16, the book of John's Gospel. Jesus said, it's expedient that I go away, beginning along about verse 7. He said, it's expedient that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I'll pray the Father, and He'll send another Comforter. When He has come, He'll convince you of sin and of judgment, of sin. He'll convince you of sin, of judgment. Well, let me get it. Let me just turn over and get it. I've quoted that passage of Scripture time and time again, but since I can't now, I bless God can read it. When He has come and reproved the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. You know what the Holy Spirit's job is? He is to constantly bless God, warn you of the wrath to come, and seek by the grace of God how to win you in salvation. Oh, friend, the Holy Spirit, bless God, He'll meet you at night, does He not? He wakes you up. He'll meet you in a curve going around it. He'll say, boy, you better hope nobody's on the other side. You're not ready for eternity. He'll trouble you when nothing else can. You'll hear Him speak when you wouldn't hear anybody else speak. He comes in the quietness of the night, in the busyness of the day. He puts a fear of God in you. He puts a dread of eternity. He puts a realization that you're not ready to meet your God. I'm telling you, if you go to hell, sir, if you go to hell, ma'am, you'll go over the will of God, the work of Christ, the wooing of the Spirit and the witness of the church. Now look, God's never been without a witness. And though the church has failed, because she's so imperfect down here, bless God, listen, that doesn't take away from her witness. Her witness is undeniable. Her presence, bless God, is plain. Her purpose is to proclaim that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Her purpose is to preach the unadulterated gospel that says Christ died for our sins in the praise that she offers her Lord. How do you know what she does? In those songs that she sings, bless God, we still sing with the church I have the privilege of pastoring, there's power in the blood. A wonder working power in the blood. Jesus saved, Jesus saved. You've heard the gospel called Jesus, Jesus saved. We sing even still yet, there is a fount drawn from, drawn from above, drawn from the Emmanuel's veins, and sinner plunge beneath the flow. I lose all their guilty stain. We still sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the song. Thank God. Hey, listen, the witness of the church goes on every time somebody mentions your name in prayer. Every Sunday, every Lord's Day, the bells are ringing, announcing gathering time and starting time. Have that choir that sings under the inspiration of the Spirit. Those buses that run through your community. That word that's proclaimed from its pulpits. Those teachers that teach those children. The invitations that are given at the end of the message. The warnings that are cried aloud. And the warnings that are repeated and extended. And many other things. I'm telling you, if you go to hell, sir, if you go to hell, ma'am, you'll go over the will of God. You'll go over the work of Christ. You'll go over the wooing of the Spirit. You'll go over the witness of the church, and you'll go over the weeping of the saints. Do you hear me? You'll go over the weeping of someone. Bless God, it's probably your mama. It's probably your daddy. If it's not, it's your family. If it's not your family, then it's your friends. Do you hear? There's somebody praying faithfully. Thank God for the salvation of men and women. There are people that go out weeping, bearing precious seed. And the Bible promises they'll doubtlessly come again rejoicing, bringing their seeds with them. Oh, somebody. Somebody's weeping over you. Somebody is begging God to spare you, to convict you, to save you, to deliver you, to convince you that you're a sinner, to convince you that Jesus is the Savior. Oh, if you go to hell, you'll go over the tears of those saints. They may not know your name, but they know your soul. They may not know your address, but they know where you're going. They may not know all your problems, but they know your one great need, and that is to trust Christ as your Savior. Listen, if you go to hell, you go over the will of God, the work of Christ, the wooing of the Spirit, and the witness of the church, of the weeping of the saints, and then of the warning of the conscience. You know what? even right now, I can't help but believe that you have stayed and stuck this long hearing this old country preacher that still spits and sweats. This old country preacher, bless God, that's just as old-fashioned and believes in old-time religion just as much as I can believe anything. Bless God, you stuck around because your conscience is saying, you know that man's right. You know the message he preaches to warn you. You know the Spirit of God is wooing you right now. You know somebody's been praying for you. You know somebody will be there watching for you to come. You know what's right. You know that you need to be saved. Oh, listen. Listen, you can go to hell if you choose to. But bless God, it won't be the easiest thing that you do. And once you get there, you'll be sad that you're there. Oh, sir, ma'am, you won't be met welcome. It won't be a warm place, though it'll be hot. Listen, there's a difference in that. It'll be dark. It's damnation. And you can be delivered today. You just call out on God. If you'll just cry and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That rich man that ended up in hell, he didn't pray for himself to be delivered because when you get there, it's too late. But he prayed for his brothers. I'm asking for you to be saved today. Call on Jesus. They that believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says, shall be saved. Call on Him and say, Lord, save me. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God said He'll call. You come to Him. You run to Him. Go now, friend. Don't die lost and go to hell. I beg of you today.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.